Maribel Alvarez.
Present.
Patrick Robles.
Present.
Jennifer Darlin.
Present.
Ed Hendel. Alexis Kailani Dudois. Absent. Bobby Jaramillo.
Present.
Mark Crum.
Present.
Madam Clerk, with six members present, a quorum of the redistricting advisory committee established.
Thank you very much. We will start with item two, introduction of members. If you'd like to go around and introduce yourselves, then we'll introduce staff for those of you who weren't here last week.
My name is Jennifer Darland, and I am a Ward 2 constituent.
My name is Ed Hendel. I live in Ward 1, but I'm representing Ward 3 today.
I'm Patrick Robles, I'm Patrick Robles, student body president, and live in Ward 1 and the Ward 1 appointee.
Hello, I'm Maribel Alvarez. I live in the Richland Heights neighborhood on Prince and Campbell, and I'm representing the mayor.
Robert Jaramillo, representing Ward 5 and the resident of Ward 5 as well.
My name is Mark Crum. I represent Ward 6, and I live in Ward 6.
Thank you. I'm Suzanne Mesch. I'm the city clerk, and next to me is?
Yolanda Lozano. I'm the chief deputy city clerk.
Dennis McLaughlin with the city attorney. Good evening, all.
And I'm Jennifer Stash, also with the city attorney.
This was Acedo with the city clerk's office.
Maria Talamante, a city assistant clerk.
Robert Hunter would be sitting here. He stepped away to make more copies for you. He's with our office. He's.
And I'm Shauna Liu with the city clerk's office. You'll be getting emails from both myself and Robert. We'll be providing the primary support to the committee.
And then I'm Randy Hamill. I'm also with the city clerk's office.
So you can see we have a lot of staff here to support you. We want to help you do your jobs as easily and best as you can. One of the things that I think you've already picked up on is when you're speaking, if you would turn on your mic using the button on the pedestal, that will help us get a good recording, an accurate recording of the meeting. So with that, we'll go to item three, which is election of officers. We did not do this last week. I'm hoping you are ready for that this week. And is anybody ready to nominate a chair?
What do the duties entail?
That'd be running the meeting, assisting with setting the agenda if people, and also kind of curating requests for information.
Are there any volunteers?
Robert Jaramillo, I'd like to make a nomination because of his prior experience, Mark Crum.
Do we have a second?
Second. Maribel.
Any other nominations? All those in favor of Mark Crum for chair, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, Mr. Crum, you are our new chairperson. Would you like to take over the meeting?
All right. The meeting is called to order.
You need a copy of the agenda?
Right.
While you're getting settled, I'll just tell you that item four is approval of minutes, and we do not quite have those minutes ready for you yet.
All right. Moving on then to item five, calls to the audience. No one's here. Item six, discussion of potential redistricting proposals. So it appears we have one to consider at this point in time. And if I may, I have a question about the splits. If we do nothing with this, I look first of all too at the total population tabulation. It appears that all persons and the target in terms of just raw numbers are really very close together for all of the wards. So when we look at the splits, and I guess the reason to deal with them is to make, since they're representing two wards, is that right? Is to make it so it represents one ward.
That's correct.
So, given the numbers, the raw numbers, and given all the splits, what are the consequences if we do nothing and everything remains split as they are now?
So the map handed out tonight, which I think Robert is copying, is the one that indicates the splits. And your question was, what happens if you do nothing, correct?
Right. What are the consequences if things remain the same?
So the goal in redistricting is to get the median population deviation down below 10%. Currently, it is 11.4% overall in the city.
Okay.
So as we mentioned last week, your first decision or recommendation is whether or not you need to redistrict. And after that, you can discuss how to go about it.
Okay.
And the 10% is a standard best practice, or is it mandated by law?
Madam Clerk, members of the committee, it is mandated by law to the extent that it's an option you have. If you do that, then it's presumptively valid. And anyone trying to overturn it is going to have the burden of why it should be overturned.
Thank you.
And Madam Clerk, is it 11.4 or 13.4 on the current MPD?
I'm sorry, the correct number for the current deviation is 13.4%.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And just for clarification, that is the base map that we handed out last week, the 13.4. This proposal map is the changes of moving these splits into what they are now, and it brings it down to a 2% deviation. So that's what this proposal one map is showing, the moving of those splits into one ward. Taking that into consideration.
Madam Clerk, that means that the deviation from the current base will go from 13.4 deviation to 2% deviation if this proposal was accepted?
That's correct.
And Madam Clerk, if we were to do nothing, would we have to defend allowing the deviation to remain at 13%? Would that be something that we would have to look at answering as well?
Madam Clerk, members of the committee, that's right. If you leave it alone and it's at 13.4, you don't have presumptive validity. So it's going to depend. It's sort of hanging out there, and if someone wants to challenge it, it's going to be a brouhaha a bit about which way it goes in court. I hope that says it clearly. Can I add one thing on and you can chime in on Mr. Crum's initial question, which is that operationally, if we just leave the split, it's very difficult for the clerk to administer elections in those precincts, right? Because effectively, some are in one ward and some are in another. So depending on the election, some people within the precinct are going to vote and some aren't. Yeah. Please amplify. I'm just saying, mm-hmm. you know, generally.
Well, this is very serious, in my opinion. So,
Chair Crum,
yes.
And professional staff, do we have any information as to why the splits have occurred? What was the committee's purpose 2 years ago in making this decision?
So it's kind of an interesting situation. Pima County draws the precinct lines, and when they're doing that, their concern are supervisorial districts, congressional districts, and legislative districts, and they're much less concerned about city wards. So consequently, we have 6 split precincts, which it's been that way for several years now. Sometimes the precinct changes, but we've had 6 splits for several years.
And I'm familiar with at least one case where this committee did return to Pima County requesting that a precinct not be split, and Pima County did not respond to that request.
Chair Crum, seems to me that the split represent an operational challenge for elections. And then as such, it should be an item that this commission should take on to fix. In the weeks ahead that we have together, I believe we will have enough time to do the analysis of whether deciding on the splits of the proposal will have any detrimental effect on other aspects of representation in those precincts and those wards. But as I contemplate the work, I think we can act on the finding that we do need to do a redistricting.
Good. I appreciate the positiveness of that remark. I have some, based upon my prior experience, I do have a concern with Precinct 82. Which is currently in Ward 6, proposed to go to Ward 5.
Yeah.
That was a past proposal, by the way. And when this committee met at a public hearing, as required, a number of people from that particular precinct appeared before this committee. And by the way, the committee did recommend that it go to Ward 5 originally. So went to public hearing, as I recall. A number of persons spoke at that public hearing. They were opposed to that, of going to Ward 5. And I think there was also a petition relating to that as well. The committee decided to reverse its recommendation for the precinct to go to Ward 5, as I recall. And that's why I asked for about the compelling reasons. This is tough stuff when you start dealing with people's feelings. And so it's a fact that past history says that this committee specifically listened to the people. They wanted it to remain in Ward 6. Further, the vast majority of the area of the precinct is represented by a Neighborhood Association Broadway Broadmoor. And if you look back further, I think there was a recommendation by the city clerk that that particular precinct was in Ward 5, that it should go to Ward 6. And I opposed that happening, by the way, simply because I drove around the precinct and kind of got a feeling for its composition. I don't know. I don't think this is the right precinct to go after. But
I have some clarifications.
That's based upon feelings, not based upon numbers. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to ask like some basic questions. So I'm wondering who designed the proposal and why there's only one, and are we allowed to make new proposals, or just basic questions like that.
Thank you for your question, and Chair Crum and members of the committee. This proposal is not an all or nothing proposal. First of all, I should have said that. Secondly, this was just a purely administrative proposal based on our experience with splits and the population deviation. So you can take these splits one at a time. You can study the map and the numbers yourselves and see where you fit as part of the recommendation. Now we have the software, which we introduced last week, that allows us to move precincts and you can see the immediate impact. So if, for instance, you want us to try moving 82 or removing it and keeping it as a split, we can do that with this software and then see how that changes the deviation.
So were the goals of the current proposal to not have any split precincts and to reduce the amount of spread between the precincts? And were those the only two goals? Or?
The main goal was to reduce the population deviation as much as we could and as far below 10% as we could get.
Yeah, it does a really good job of that. They're very even. And it looks like we wouldn't have any more split precincts if we adopt this proposal. So sounds like that would also be nice from an election administration perspective. I guess one concern or question I have is the rough proportionality principle, which I read about in the notes, which is basically the percent of minority population throughout the city should be roughly proportional to the number of wards in which there is a majority minority population. And right now we have two wards that are majority minority and four that are not. But I'm wondering if we have like demographic information for the whole city combined, like if column, I don't see the minority column, can we get like a total for that, for the whole city? What percent of Tucson is minority? And then that would tell us what percent of the precincts should be majority minority based on that principle. I looked it up. I think it's roughly half. At least within rounding error to, rounding to the nearest 1 in 6, since we have 6 wards. So my understanding is that we're supposed to have 3 wards that are majority minority, but we only have 2. And so I don't know if it's possible to redistrict in such a way that we have 3. But we should at least consider that, since that is one of the stated objectives of our committee. So yeah, I guess if we could just start with getting the total percentage of Tucson that is minority, that would be helpful. I looked on the census, but it's a little confusing because I guess being Hispanic is not a race according to the census. We got this print out of this email from Fred, where race and Hispanic origin are completely different concepts. So there's a minority field, which you can see in the In these maps we have, the last two columns are Hispanic and minority. But in some columns, in wards 1 and 5, there's fewer minorities than there are Hispanics, which means some Hispanic people are not being counted as minority, which is fine. I think it just means I don't fully understand how that minority field is being defined or calculated. And since that's the field that we need to use for the rough proportionality principle, I think it might be good if we all made sure we understand what that actually means. Does anyone else on the committee have thoughts or questions about that topic?
That is a topic. The question could be complicated, could be simple. If it is giving us the Hispanic percentage as an added on data point, but that is not aggregate or separate from the minority, you know, that's the question we need to ask. Because it's a distinct ethnic representation, not a racial representation. So that's the question we have to ask.
Yeah, so according to this email from Fred, the minority field, which is the last column in our maps in the demographics table there, the minority field is calculated as total population minus white alone. It says while alone, but I assume that's a typo. I assume it should say white alone. So that would mean if you identify as Hispanic but also white alone, you are not counted as a minority. I'm not going to pretend to like fully understand like everything about how this works, but that's how that field is calculated. And I assume that minority field is the one we're supposed to use for this rough proportionality doctrine or principle or guideline, whatever we want to call it.
Maybe the staff has clarification, but from my understanding, the minority field would include Hispanics.
But not all Hispanics, because if you look at wards 1 and 5, there's more Hispanics than there are minorities.
No, because it's an overlay. It's not measuring the same thing.
Right. It's a different question on the census.
Yeah, exactly.
Hispanic is not considered a race.
So you would say that in District 1, for example, but I could be incorrect. I asked the staff to demographics. It's a big field.
I guess since
I'm saying that in Ward 1, 62% is minority. All the groups that are on the census counted as minority. And of that minority, 68 is Hispanic.
68? I don't think that's not my understanding. That could be true.
Suzanne, would you answer that, please? We're running some numbers over here. I can see that now, but I think it's two separate tracks because it's two different questions on the census. So
just, I guess, to make a more clear question for you, is that minority field the one that we're supposed to be using for the rough proportionality principle? And we're just kind of ignoring the Hispanic column for the sake of rough proportionality?
Yes. Which one prevails in our considerations?
The rough proportionality ordinance refers to minority rather than the ethnicity of Hispanic.
Okay. So thank you. That's helpful. So therefore, once we figure out the total percent of Tucson that is minority, which I think they're working on, but I'm guessing will be roughly 50%, 45%, something like that, then that is the percent of wards that are supposed to be majority minority. And so if I'm correct that it's something like 50%, then we currently are not meeting the rough proportionality principle, even in the new proposal. Now, it's not a law. We don't have to do it, I guess, but we should at least discuss it since that's part of our stated objective here.
So just to be clear, the minority column, I want to make sure I'm understanding this correctly, the minority column is completely separate and doesn't account for Hispanics. Is that what I'm...
My understanding is that that's correct, but a lot of Hispanic people will be counted, will be minority.
Okay.
It's not like non-Hispanic. It's just that whether you're Hispanic is separate.
Okay.
I think that in this email it says it's defined as total population minus white alone. So I think it's just anyone who identifies as not white alone.
That's correct. That's my understanding, and that's how we use it at the university in demographics. Okay. So that's exactly what it means. So a Hispanic person is counted as a minority, but they're counted in addition their ethnicity. It's almost, think about it, we did it for the white population, and then you counted how many of the white population was Polish. You know, it's just, it would then show up in the same way that it shows up here. White, 25%, Polish, 45%. See, in the same word. Because the majority of people who are white by race are saying that their ethnic origin would be Polish. Does that make sense? And that's what is happening here.
But I don't think the Hispanic column in here means the percent of minorities who are Hispanic. I don't think that's it. I mean, first of all, that would mean that in Ward 2, 78% of minorities are not Hispanic, which doesn't seem likely to me. But I think it's just completely separate. It's not like one is a percent of another. I think it's just, it's saying 69.69% of Ward 1 is Hispanic, and also separately 62.53% of Ward 1 is minority, meaning some Hispanic people are not minority because they're separate questions on the census.
You could be right, but the question on the census are stacked. So you first are asked if you're Hispanic, and then you're asked your race. And that's why it says all only white. You know, that's why it makes that distinction. It's a stack question in the census. That's why I think that's, it could be, I don't know, but then the Ward 2 issue, you're correct, it could be.
I think regardless of what that Hispanic column is, I think we don't need, I don't think that affects this committee. I mean, it would be interesting to know. It certainly would be good for our understanding. But I think that minority column is key because of the wording of the rough proportionality principle. So I think that Hispanic column was just added for our edification, but it's not like a number that we're trying to necessarily optimize in a certain way.
It's added for edification and for the cultural distinct character. If we were in New Orleans, and it would matter that those wards have this percentage of black population.
Yeah.
In Tucson, it would be that it matters that they're Hispanic, because that is the distinctive sort of impacted group by ethnicity.
Yeah.
So city staff, the conclusion that Ed just stated, is that a correct conclusion?
Mr. Chair, are you asking that Hispanic category and the minority category are two separate things completely? Is that what you mean?
And the minority category is the one we pay attention to.
That's my understanding as well from the rough proportionality ordinance.
Thank you very much for the question and the clarification. Excellent work.
Yeah, thank you for that. I appreciate it. So I guess now that we've clarified that, we just still need to get that percentage of the whole city of Tucson. That is minority. Oh, I see we have it there. 45%. Yeah. So that means, if I'm understanding the rough proportionality principle correctly, 45% of our six wards should have a majority, more than 50% in that minority column. And in the new proposal, two of the six would have that, which is the same as the current situation. So it would not change that. I think if we're rounding, it should be three of the six, not two of the six. But I don't know. I mean, we're pretty close. Like right now we're at 33%. It should be 45%. We can either keep it at 33 or we can move it to 50, which would then be overshooting. But it would be a little bit closer. But then that would also require like some pretty drastic changes to the proposal. And I'm not necessarily saying that we should do that. All I'm saying is that we should consider this in our discussions. It might also be very difficult or impossible to do. I don't know. I mean, but I haven't played around with the software. But anyway, I'll just leave that for people to ponder.
Madam Clerk, can I interject a question here? Mr. Chair, may I?
Yes, Dennis.
I wanted to ask the clerk on the proposal one, which is the split precincts, going to the member's question, how was it decided which ward a split precinct goes into? Was it that more were in one ward than another? Was it MPD minimization, so you considered various possibilities and then picked the one that would do that? Sorry to be dense.
No, you're right. MPD consideration was number one, and then number two was location and kind of the geography of the split. It didn't make sense if more than half the precinct is south of Golf Links to move the whole thing north. That kind of thing, if just looking at the map itself and the areas for each of the splits. So it was population deviation number one and then geography number two.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Madam Clerk.
Chairman Crum?
Yes.
Yes. Based on the numbers that we have, is it pretty close to hitting the bullseye by going with this? Attention to the numbers?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, yes, it is okay. Very close. To go from 13.4% deviation to 2% is,
okay.
Is a good number.
Now, we're pretty close to the target. And we're still, if and when we decide to go with whatever we decide to go with, we're still going to have a public hearing on it. And like you said, I would consider their recommendation as well, hearing them out and see what their preference would be. And maybe we could take this back to the table and have further discussion on it.
I agree with that. I think on principle, because this is an administrative proposal, we accept it as this will solve the problem of the deviation, and that would be conforming with our charge, our number goal. However, when we have an open hearing, I hear from someone in the community that, oh, goodness, before you do that, like you mentioned, Chair Crum, if you change that precinct, it just completely goes against the character of that neighborhood, the way we identify, the way we feel, the relationship we have. Then at that time, we have to then say, well, that's when we waited. But on principle, this administrative proposal is a good place to start.
Thank you, Mary Bell. I think that's an excellent observation. Does anyone have anything to add to that?
Yes, I'm wondering if we should consider, well, okay, first thought, when are we telling the districts that might be changed? I think the hearing is like mid to late November, right? So how much notice are we giving them before the hearing?
That's something you can talk about, how you would like to go about it. I was going to bring up under future agendas how you want us to do public outreach. Newspapers need 7 days before a public hearing to get it into the paper, so we want at least a week's notice. We'd want to put information out on the city's website, make sure council members are aware, the mayor and council, and anybody else that you feel are stakeholders that might be interested in the public hearing. I just might add, the sooner you hold that public hearing, probably the better, because you do want to take that input into account when you're finalizing your recommendation.
Thank you. I think it might be worth creating additional proposals that make fewer changes but still bring us within below that 10% threshold. Not necessarily saying that we should, you know, endorse that proposal right away, but for example, what if we hold a public hearing and everyone in ward or precinct 105, I just picked one randomly, is furious, and we decide, okay, we don't want to upset everybody, we'll leave that as it is. You know, would that still bring us under 10%? Like, what's the least amount that we can do and still bring us into legal compliance? And maybe, I'm sure there would be multiple options that would achieve that. I'm not necessarily asking you guys to make, like, dozens of new proposals, but at least give us a sense of what the, maybe a handful of options, like, what's the least that we could do to be legally compliant. And then we can have those proposals in our back pocket in case a handful of precincts become upset by the proposal number one here. Because we do have a fairly condensed timeline, right? Like, a month from now is Thanksgiving, and we're supposed to have this all done by the end of November. So we basically have, like, 3 meetings left, and preferably less than that if we're going to have a hearing with enough time for more meetings after, plus the 7 days to get it in the paper. So we probably need to, like, put our proposal out in the paper, like, 2 weeks from now, pretty quickly, I would think.
First of the month.
Yeah. Now, does anyone here want to return to any of their council members?
What was that?
Does anyone here want to return to any of their council members before we go to the public hearing to get their feelings on this? I'm not saying we have to. I'm just saying, I'm just trying to cover all the potential bases.
Yes, I'd like to do so, and use this next 1 week timeline until we meet again to touch base with Councilmember Santa Cruz.
Yeah, I'll be in touch with Councilmember Dahl's office, but I don't think he'll have a problem with this, but it's good to at least communicate.
Is it necessary to make that into a motion?
I don't think so, but I'm not sure.
Is it necessary?
I think we're allowed to talk to...
Right.
The people
okay.
who appointed this.
It's at our option then if we want to go back to our council member and say, what do you think of this? We can report back at the next meeting and go on from there. But I appreciate the feeling for the urgency of our action because we don't have a whole lot of time.
I think in terms of I guess I'm not going to make this motion quite yet because I want to hear the committee's thoughts, but the idea I have for a motion would be something like we ask staff to come back with additional proposals, at least one of which creates 3 wards that all have majority-minority to bring us into compliance with the rep proportionality principle, and then a handful of others, or at least one other, that show different ways we could bring it, you know, just below that 10% while potentially, you know, making fewer changes in case people get upset.
Suzanne, is that doable?
If you'd like to make that in the form of a motion, we can accept it as a motion.
Well, I mean, we don't want to work you guys to death. I mean, is that feasible?
We're happy to work with that and see if we can come up with three wards that have majority, minority, a couple of other options to bring the MPD below 10%. If there's any particular area of town that causes you concern, such as Precinct 82, which would be one of our first changes, would be to leave it as is. Even we can leave it as a split and see how that affects the numbers. And then just go from there in our office. But if any of you have any specific areas, precincts, anything that we can look at, that'll get us a good start.
I think I heard that last time around, there were people in a particular precinct that were very upset, and then the committee changed it and did not move that precinct. And given that that happened, it might happen again, but I don't have a good way of predicting which one that would occur for, if any. And so maybe it would be good to do the hearing, like, in a week and just get people's thoughts, and then we'll have enough time to actually make the changes. I guess that seems like 2 weeks from now is probably the latest that we should have the public hearing, because that would give us 2 weeks to make a new proposal and then have a new public hearing before the end of November, if people are upset by the first one.
Just as a point of clarification, I think what would be helpful for me is when I, you know, if we were going to go to our city council folks who appointed us to this work, I would want to know what work am I taking for their review and input. At this stage right now with this first proposal, if we're going to come back next week and potentially have two other options for consideration, I'd want to factor that into the timeline as well. I don't want to go with incomplete work to review for the councilman.
Agree.
I think Ed is on the right track in one way, and that is that we want to have some back pocket information so that we don't have to wait a long time, like, oh, okay, it will take 2 weeks to get it. So I support. But I also feel like in this, it's going to have to be like we have an administrative proposal. It's not weighted in any way by input yet, but administratively, our city staff has come up with almost the perfect balance, right, of the deviation. And that's a starting point. So if we set that and begin the process of securing input from council members as well as from the public immediately, as soon as possible, on the basis that this is an administrative proposal, we are not saying this is weighted yet. Then at the same time, we can have those back pockets ones ready. So if we get challenged, then we can say, oh, okay, we have options.
However, in the past, the city clerk has provided us or provided this committee with often three different proposals at the same time to consider. So I think...
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
May I make a recommendation that we spend a few days in our office coming up with a couple of additional proposals and get them to you early next week before your meeting so that you have time to review them on your own. And then perhaps that'll help the discussion next week. Mm-hmm. And also what you want to present for a public hearing.
That sounds good to me. And I guess I would say this proposal is really good. It's like the 2%, that's extremely small. I think the deviation is really quite excellent. And having no split precincts is also really nice. So I think staff did an excellent job, and I personally would be fine with just approving this now. But given the possibility that people might be upset in ways that are hard to predict, I think we should move forward as fast as we can with, let me rephrase. I don't think our committee is going to like the new proposals better than this one, because this one's really good. The reason we might change from this one is if people are upset at the hearing. So we should probably try to have the hearing as soon as possible. So I guess I would actually suggest that we...
Wait, would you like to put this in the form of a motion?
Sure, yeah. I move that we start the... How do I phrase this? What did you call it? 7-day process for the newspaper? I move that we notify the newspapers of this proposal and set a date for the public hearing for roughly 2 weeks from now to be determined by discussion from the committee. And, yeah, that's my relatively inelegantly worded motion.
Chairman Crum, before we move forward with this, I'd like to get a deeper understanding on the outreach process to ensure that we're reaching all members of our community rather than a small few. And with that, how 2 years ago when this committee convened, were we able to tap into a decent amount of folks and gather their thoughts on what was being discussed before us?
Thank you for the question. What we would like to do is utilize our public information office to get word out about the public hearing. When we have a date and time, we will present that in English and Spanish on the city's website, newspapers, press releases, and the ways that they have some social media that our office does not currently participate in. So they've already added their assistance to the effort. So the sooner, I just want to assure you that we will get as much outreach done and as much public notice of the hearing as we can, because it is such an important issue and we want to hear from all segments of the community.
Thank you, Madam Clerk.
Patrick, I think that's a great, very good idea. And of course, every board office often has their own newsletters, and I'm certain that they will have their comments about this, notifying the public of this proposal, understanding that it's contingent upon a public hearing.
And for the record, I just want to say that a bunch of people being upset is not the only measure that will guide our decisions.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
In our democratic
system, how many.
People can be upset and still be wrong.
So I'm going to withdraw my motion because I'm writing it down in a more elegant wording. So, and it hasn't been seconded, right? So I can withdraw and make it again in a minute here.
Take your time.
Do we want to discuss, like, when the hearing should be? Like, early November, probably? Do we need to have a date in the motion? Or, I guess, Suzanne, can you tell us, like, how that would work in terms of who sets the date of the hearing? That's probably not us, right? Or is it us?
It's us.
It is.
Yes, okay. Yes, it can
are
be.
Are there any logistical concerns with having it on a certain day of the week or anything like that?
The most pressing concern is it can't be November 14th because that's a mayor and council meeting and most of us will have to be there. But Okay. Other than that, Thanksgiving week is something I think for you to keep in mind about how much you're going to be able to meet that week. And since you normally meet on Thursdays, I wouldn't recommend meeting on Thanksgiving. No offense.
I think we should do early November. Does anyone have suggestions or thoughts on the date?
And don't forget, November 8th is Election Day. I don't know.
I'd like to make a motion or suggestion.
We have a motion on the floor.
Suggestion for a date?
Yes.
Would it be possible to have it the first Thursday, which would be of November?
Yeah, the third. That sounds.
No, the first third. Well, that's next week. The following, a day before Veterans Day, which is the 10th. Yes.
Okay. Could you include that in the motion?
Are we saying, which day was it?
10th.
November 10th. I guess I think we should do it sooner than that. So let's discuss that. I'm open to that. But we have to have our recommendation out by November 30th. Thanksgiving is the 24th. And so after the hearing, we will have, if we do it on the 10th, we would only have one meeting between the hearing and when we have to make our official recommendation. And if we need to pick a different proposal, like if a lot of people are upset by what we propose and we need to pick a different one, we may want to consider having a second public hearing for the new proposal. So we kind of want to leave time for that, right?
My thought that we're going to be meeting next Thursday, if I'm not mistaken, and it gives us time to review the new recommendation that administration is making. And then after that would be whatever day you decide on just to have the public hearing.
Chair Crum?
Yes.
If we're meeting next Thursday to review additional proposals, what about Monday, November 7th is a public hearing? That way you still have November 10th to meet on what happened at the public hearing. And if we have to schedule another public hearing after that, we still have some time. The 7th, I think.
I'm out of town that day.
That's right.
What do we need to discuss at next week's meeting? I think we could just have the public hearing at next week's meeting during that time slot. Like, is there anything else we need to discuss before we hear from the public?
Well, I feel that what we should discuss is what's being recommended to us in the following, with the other proposals that are being presented to us prior to having the public hearing.
Okay. I guess I'm thinking of those as, like, backup proposals that we would use if people are upset by this one. But if we don't, I guess I was under the impression that we all kind of like this one.
I personally like it.
Yeah. So I don't think any of the backups, like if we got a backup that said, here's the least we can possibly do to get below 10%, but as population shifts and grows, we'll have to do this redistricting committee again in 2 years. I doubt any of us are going to want to do that one, right? So I guess it's possible that we'll want to go with the ref proportionality option. I guess let's discuss that. Do you guys think there's a good chance that we're going to want to propose one of the backup plans or alternate plans?
We don't know.
I think that we'll...
Sure, why not? It's data.
Right, but then we'll have a lot less time to evaluate the public opinion and make another change and have another hearing if we have to. I mean, I'm happy to do that. I just think it's kind of...
Suzanne will be providing us with some additional information relative to this discussion. And I think that's important to have.
I think what I'm hearing is we like this proposal because it meets the minimum, it meets the charge that we've been given, and staff did the job of presenting us the optimal proposal administratively that meets the objectives. As far as we know, we could approve that and just go home. But we're saying, let's advance that one. Let's advance this one forward for the hearing. And then have backup in between so that if at the hearing something completely changes, then we don't have to start from that point on asking staff to come up with new alternatives. I think that's what you're trying to say.
Yeah, I think if we wait until the 10th, then the 10th through the 24th is going to be really hectic and crazy for us.
Yeah.
And we're not going to gain very much between now and then. That's just my opinion. I'm open to other thoughts, though.
I'm just as a point of clarification or just for my own understanding or just to say it out loud. my one... I think that the first recommendation as we've all stated, is a really good first start. I think what we don't know is what the public is going to tell us. I think that we would like to think that the pushback that they would give us would be to push for more minority-majority wards. I don't think that's going to be what we're going to hear. We're going to hear about concerns or constraints or confusion about being absorbed into a new ward from a previous ward. And with all due respect to my fellow constituents, while I find that to absolutely be an inconvenience, I'm more concerned about ensuring that we are not at that 13%. So I just want to be thoughtful about also, and maybe getting some feedback from the attorneys with respect, well, I don't necessarily know attorneys, but when we create the alternative plans, it becomes part of the public work that the commission does. And I just do worry that if we aren't making those publicly available, the feedback we could get in the future would be, oh, you did this extra work, you had a public hearing, and yet you didn't propose, you didn't share with us the other backup proposals that the staff created. So I would almost prefer that we just go with this one, wait to hear what our fellow neighbors have to say, and then go forward from there versus creating work that could potentially create confusion and concern in the future.
And understand that we necessarily don't have to balance all of the community's concerns about where they may be. Ultimately, ours is just a recommendation to the mayor and council. The mayor and council make the final decision in terms of what the map looks like.
I think you raise a really good point, and I support that as well, in the sense that, let's just say that we have to have some core principles. One, there are two here that the staff has brought to us. One, the deviation is almost like down as much as it can be. 2% is good. We agree on that. Other one is no split precincts. That's a good thing. Boom, right? You start there. Now, let's just say that we know 82, precinct 82, it was controversial before, and it probably will be. Let's just say hypothetically. It would be nice to know, hey, if instead of giving it to district to Ward 5, you gave it to Ward, what would be the Ward 6, then the standard deviation would be 4%. And then we will say, oh, well, that's still pretty good, right? We're not making the neighbors mad because they're changing ward, and we're still at a low percentage, you know, the deviation. But that, we may like that. And in order for us to achieve that type of option, we would have to be working in tandem with the city staff preparing alternatives for us or using the map, because I think that's interactive, right? We could do that right on the spot. So that's the thing. And at the same time, we would be advancing one forward so that we don't lose out in the public, in the timing, in the sequence. That may be.
In my mind, what you're saying, too, is that don't underestimate the value of the public hearing. Because one of my original thoughts was that this is not just about balancing data. There also is a need to recognize people's feelings in that process. And a part of that, and a part of recognizing their feelings is in that public hearing.
Yeah, I think that's the most important piece of data that we're going to get that we don't have now. So I guess with that, I'll go ahead and make my motion, and we can amend it if we want to, but I actually have it written down now, so it'll be more more elegant. Okay. I move that we hold a public hearing on November 3rd, and we start the notification process with the newspapers now. In parallel, we request that staff generate additional proposals to create a third majority-minority ward and to get below 10% MPD with fewer precincts being moved.
For purposes of discussion, do I hear a second? Okay, Bobby seconds it. Discussion. None? All right.
Motion has been seconded. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes. Okay, are there any future agenda items? Or did we already discuss them?
I guess one other thought, how often does this committee meet? I mean, not this committee, the redistricting committee, is it every 2 years or is it only when it needs to meet with a minimum of every 2 years?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the redistricting process takes place every 4 years and every 2 years after a decennial census.
Okay. So it'll be 4 years from now. I just wonder if it's worth considering projected future population growth. Like, my understanding is that Ward 4 is growing the fastest. Frankly, I think this is fine. I think it's so close to even that in 4 years it will be slightly imbalanced, probably with Ward 4 having more than they should. But then the RIC in 2026 will take care of it. Or just not take care of it because it'll probably still be well below the 10%. I'm fine with that. I just wanted to bring up the topic and see if anyone has thoughts on that.
Yeah, I don't think you should try to guess at what population is going to be because I'm always really surprised about how the development occurs and what that development looks like. And sometimes development is the people moving in equals a number of people moving out. It's really difficult to project population and where it's going to occur or not occur.
Sounds good to me. And then my other question for staff, did the motion that we passed give you what you need in terms of starting the notification process with proposal one, or do we need to make another motion to say, like, tell the members of these wards specifically? Like, do you need anything else, or are we all set?
Mr. Chair, members of the commission committee, I don't think we need anything else because we will put the entire proposal out, do a display ad in the paper if we can get one done that quickly, and encourage our council members to use their mailing list to notify residents as well as doing as much advertising as we can.
Great. Thank you. And the 7-day period, I guess if we tell the papers tomorrow morning. Wait, so then would they be publishing it the day of the hearing? Oh, that'd be great. Okay. Yeah, if we can publish it on Monday, that would give people a couple days to get their schedules sorted out and show up on Thursday.
And okay. That's the other question. Do you want to hold the public hearing here in this chambers?
That's fine with me.
Okay.
I think we should have a remote option in case someone wants to call in on the phone. Is that possible?
It's not really under mayor and council meeting guidelines. If people want to speak a call to the audience, they're encouraged to attend.
Okay. Is there a place to have a comment section for people to write comments?
And actually what our public notice will include is how to email or phone in or mail comments to us so that we can get as much input as possible.
Perfect. Thank you.
And that door is the one that people come through. Right. And we'll be sitting up there.
Ooh, cool.
All right. Any other future agenda items that people would like to see?
Mr. Chair, one of the things we would like to do is if there is more data or information that you need for next week's meeting, if we could find out what that information is by Monday so that we can provide it to you in advance of the meeting. We will also provide the information requested in the motion, and get that to you as soon as we can. We'll work on that tomorrow.
Right. Did everyone hear that? Good. Okay. That's it for additional discussion. Next meeting date, time?
November 3rd at 5:30 p.m.
But that's the hearing, right?
After the public hearing, you can hold the discussion.
Okay, so would the hearing start at 5:30 and then our private meeting would be like right after that?
So I would recommend the day of the public hearing that we approve minutes, do any housekeeping items that need to go on the agenda. I can't think of any right off the bat. Go into the public hearing. After the public hearing, you hold discussion on the input that you heard, which either could make you change your recommendation, request more information, that type of thing. If you're ready to vote on the proposal that night, that's fine. I mean, we can agendize it that way, but then you'd have a good start.
I think that's a great idea. All right. Ready for adjournment? I have a motion that we adjourn.
Make a motion that we adjourn.
Is there a second? All in favor?
A second.
Aye. All right. We're adjourned. Thank you very much.